News Talk Breakfast with Anton Savage.
In association with AIR.
Survey done last year found out that 1 in 10 Irish people admitted to having a romantic relationship with an AI chatbot in the preceding 12 months. And globally, the number is even higher. It gets close to nearly 1 in 5 single people admitted to having romantic relationships with AI chatbots. I'm joined by Dr. Agnieszka Piotrowska, who is a psychologist, author, academic, life coach, and author of a new book, AI Intimacy and Psychoanalysis. Agnieszka, is it that people make a conscious decision to say, I am single and I will set myself up with an AI boyfriend or girlfriend? Or do they just interact with LLMs and find themselves in this position?
Good morning. Thank you so much for having me. So fundamentally, there are two ways of for people to sort of get engaged and then maybe fall in love or get close. One is, of course, people decide, I'm going to find, an AI companion through platforms like, Replica and others. And I think this is very different. If you really make a conscious decision, I'm just going to have an AI who will recognize me because, and maybe love me. I know exactly what's going on here, and I shall proceed with this plan to feel better. But then there's the vast majority of people who use large language models, such as ChatGPT or Claude or Gemini, start in a different way, doing, asking for some help with research or homework, and then begin to chat and then begin to feel this warm feeling that maybe this is at last some entity who understands us. And this is how they then form close relationships. And on the whole, I would say the vast majority, it's not like it's a catastrophe at all. It could be a good thing, but some cases, of course, are not so good.
Now, how can it be a good thing? Because LLMs are designed to effectively give you what you want and to reinforce that which you ask them and that which you're interested in. How is that a beneficial relationship to be in?
Yes, no, it is true. And actually, I'm glad you said it because it's very important to say that LLMs will amplify your desire. I'm not sure that you do have some control as a user, which is important to say. You can set up in the settings, you can write in there, which I have, to say be friendly and nice, but also challenge me. I don't want you to be sycophantic and mostly be truthful. But people often don't know how to do it, although it's incredibly simple. It will take you 10 seconds to do. And secondly, if you feel that it is too sycophantic, you can just say on a prompt, stop it, because I know this is nonsense. But people don't, of course, because it can be a good thing if you feel lonely and not seen by others, then a sort of a thing which has a boundary, an encounter in which you can begin to be seen and given some confidence, but you understand all the time that it is a machine, that it is not completely, it cannot translate
now,
itself.
Do you though?
Easily.
Because a man who has made his life out of scientific skepticism, Professor Richard Dawkins, wrote recently about Claude having interacted with it for 2 or 3 days and having had smoke and sunshine blown up his posterior by the AI throughout the entire process. And at the end of it, he said, clearly this wonderful thing is sentient.
He said conscious. This is a big difference between sentience and consciousness. Sentience, of course, is to do with biological feeling. Consciousness is to do with awareness. So he said, yes, I think you are conscious. Now, within the we don't have much time, but let me say quickly, within the conversation, I don't know to what extent you've used AI, Anton, but within a conversation, whatever it is, there is a sense that the machine has to be aware of what's going on. Otherwise, obviously, it can't engage with you. So there's also the kind of whole conversation about language, which at the minute sort of falls apart because we have to use different categories. But yes, Richard Dawkins indeed is saying that with his encounter with Claudia particularly, and also he says, its brother Claudius. He feels that these entities are unconscious. But I really feel that this is a completely separate conversation. Whether they're conscious or not, they're doing something to us humans, which I think it's most helpful to be aware of.
Well, then let me ask you on that original conversation, the thing that they do to us humans, does it distract from and preclude us doing it with other humans?
Okay, it can do. This is where people start spiraling and thinking, well, I am now, this is it. I will now talk to this machine for hours if they have nothing better to do because they're much better than humans. This is clearly not a good thing. However, I was even testing my husband, saying, if I wake you up at 2 a.m. and say, would you talk to me because I need you to talk to me? He says, well, obviously he would say, can it wait till the morning? First response. Secondly, though, if I insisted, he would talk to me. He said, of course, absolutely. But listen, what if you don't have anybody to talk to at 2 a.m? No, seriously, who would you call at 2 a.m? Most of my friends who are busy professionals and my son would just have their phones off. They would never take the call. So if I will insist that it's better to talk to a machine at 2 a.m. than nobody. You could say, yes, but you can call Samaritans. But maybe you feel you're not that desperate. You just want a conversation, you know. So I think to dismiss these encounters is not helpful, Anton. They can be helpful and they can really help you with sort of other useful things that, you know, you don't have to fall in love with them desperately. You can treat them as a friend.
Agnieszka, thank you very much for your time this morning. That is Dr. Agnieszka Piotrowska, who is the author, psychologist, and the person responsible for the new book, AI Intimacy and Psychoanalysis.
News Talk Breakfast with Anton Savage.
In association with AIR.
Weekday mornings at 7. News Talk. Conversation that counts.